Welcome to this Monday's Main Street on Prairie Public. We hope you had a great weekend. I'm Craig Blumenschein. Today we'll explore what it takes to build communities in which people with Down syndrome are valued, not simply for being present, but for their abilities, contributions, and individuality. We'll also hear what families experience at different stages of life and where greater understanding and opportunity are still needed across North Dakota. For families raising a child with Down syndrome, support can mean many things. Reliable information after a diagnosis, help navigating schools and services, opportunities for friendship and employment, and the reassurance of knowing other families understand the journey. Designer Jeans of North Dakota works statewide to strengthen opportunities for people with Down syndrome and those who support them to learn, earn, and belong. The organization began about 20 years ago as a network of Bismarck-Mandan families and has grown now into a statewide nonprofit. Kendra Vanderwall is the organization's executive director. She's also a pediatric occupational therapist with experience in early intervention, inclusive education, and family support. Kendra, it is a pleasure to visit with you. Welcome to Main Street.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share about Designer Jeans.
What personally, I guess, and professionally brought you to this work?
Yes, I feel honored because I come from two different perspectives. I went to school to be an occupational therapist, and I really found it meaningful to have that underlying support of special education. So I walked away with a minor in special education, and I got the opportunity to work alongside children of all abilities and their families. I really am passionate about supporting families from the start and making sure that they have the resources they need. So I got the chance to work in early intervention and really support families where they were at. And that led me also to an inclusive preschool, which was really collaborative in giving family that voice and making sure that they had the tools that they needed. And then came my sweet, beautiful son, and he was born with Down syndrome, which gave me that parent perspective also, and that lived experience to know, hey, yes, people are working with me, coming into my home and doing what I have been doing. And so it was nice to have both sides of it. And now I'm just really passionate about making sure that every family has the support and information that they need to have the best life that they can.
For listeners discovering Designer Jeans for the first time, Kendra, what's the organization and whom does it serve?
Yes, Designer Jeans is a statewide nonprofit that strengthens opportunities for individuals with Down syndrome to earn, learn, and belong. And we are passionate about making sure that we're supporting families across the lifespan. So whether a family is receiving a prenatal or birth diagnosis, all the way through adulthood, we're supporting individuals and those who help them to meet their needs across the lifespan. Our organization was started by families around 1986 who realized and recognized the power of community and coming together to support one another. And now we serve hundreds of families and individuals with Down syndrome across the state through family support, education programs, advocacy efforts, community events, and programming that span from that prenatal support through adulthood.
You mentioned the words just a moment ago, and I also did my opening, learn, earn, and belong. So tell me what that mission looks like in practice.
Yes, there are a variety of ways that we support families across the lifespan through a layer of support. And it's important to me to really meet the families where they're at, because there's no one family that is same from in Williston or Bismarck. We're all different and we all have different goals and different needs. And so it might look different for each family. I'll start with that early childhood piece. Really, if a family were to get diagnosed prenatally or at birth, we want to make sure that they have the support. And so our hospital boxes are in 10 birthing hospitals across the state. And we're hoping that that family receives information that they need to best help their loved one with Down syndrome. And it's kind of a three layer of support. So it's North Dakota specific, Down syndrome specific resources, and then information about designer genes and how we can help your family and what that might look like. So it could be supporting early intervention and making sure that they're connected with that. It might mean connecting them with developmental disabilities support through Health and Human Services and making sure that they have a program manager. It might be sharing information, medical resources, educational resources. But we know that our families are such big advocates. And it seems like that from the start. I feel like our families are ready to go, ready to share information, ready to be a part of it. So we're even sharing resources with families and letting them know of different advocacy opportunities, connecting them with the Interagency Coordinating Council to be advocates, or maybe it's attending the Family Voices Parent Leadership Institute. So it's a lot of information sharing. Once families reach that school year, our hope is that students with Down syndrome are really learning alongside their peers in their neighborhood schools. And so it's a lot of conversations with family about what inclusion looks like. We're happy to attend IEP meetings or get them connected with other organizations across North Dakota that are supporting families in their education rights. It might be partnering with schools in training different resources for teachers to support and really understand individuals with Down syndrome and their learning styles. It's a lot of transitioning into that adulthood, which is our final kind of layer, is that adulthood. And we know that many adults with Down syndrome want things just like us, to work, to build friendships, to continue learning, to be a part of their community. And so we're just making sure that families have that support that they need. Maybe it's more information about supportive decision making or guardianship, depending on a family's needs. It might be letting them know that we have a mock interview training coming up and we'd love for that individual to partake in that. It might be sharing information about our programming. So one program that we have is the GROW program. So it's just a lot of information sharing at that adulthood piece. It's also, we know that adults are living longer than ever before, which means that we need to continue to learn and gain more knowledge about that aging process and how to meet families where they're at. And so right now we're offering an Alzheimer's training coming up in August. So we're really trying to wrap around the family and making sure that they're getting the resources and information they need, no matter where they're at in their life.
We'll talk about aging here with Down syndrome a little bit later. And it surprised me, Kendra, when you shared with me just a moment ago, life expectancy for someone with Down syndrome isn't 30, it's not 40, it's not 50, it's 60 years old.
Yes.
Let's turn this to where many families begin. What parents, when they first learn that their child has Down syndrome, what questions or emotions do you commonly hear?
Yes. So there are a few ways families get connected or hear that their loved one might have Down syndrome. And that might mean prenatally if they do some testing, or it might mean at birth. And I think it's important to know that when a family receives that information that their loved one has Down syndrome, it's the beginning of a new adventure. And we want to make sure that that family is receiving a congratulations rather than overwhelming medical information maybe at first. And so that might mean simple, but it means that a family knows that they're not alone and that they have someone to go to if they want to chat. We know that when families have information and resources right from the beginning, that they can more confidently make decisions that they might have to make if they are meeting with multiple medical professionals. So we have made a partnership with Family Voices called Project Carson. And that is when, if a family were to receive a prenatal diagnosis, that doctor is making a referral to Project Carson. And the information is being sent to Designer Genes, if families approve of it, to let us reach out and make sure that they have the information they need. So it's really just a conversation to say, hey, we're here if you need. what information would you like? How can I best connect you to maybe a family, a resource, or a person in the medical field to help support you? So it's important for us as an organization to try to catch them three times a family to let them know that they're not alone. So if families are being notified prenatally, that's our first. At birth or in the hospital, we give them a hospital box, and that has that three layers of information that I mentioned to make sure that families kind of have a resource of information that they might not read at that moment, but if they go home and want more information, they have that. And then we try to touch base with that family again after they got home and send them a celebratory box. And that includes homemade quilts that were made from our community to let them know, again, to just wrap them around in love and make sure that they know that we're here and we're here to support them no matter where they're at and whatever time that they might need.
Statistically, Kendra, are more children being born with Down syndrome today maybe than 10 or 15 years ago? About the same? Do we know what that number might be and what it might even be here in the state?
Yeah. So the assumption was that moms who are having babies later in life are primarily the ones that are having individuals with Down syndrome. And that's not necessarily true. That number might seem high because it is in comparison to the amount of babies being born at that age. A majority of babies with Down syndrome are being born to moms in their 20s and 30s. There's just more babies being born in that age group. And so that's why it might seem like a lesser number. But babies are being born with Down syndrome no matter your race or your age or your social and economic status or where you live. It's across the lifespan. And so we know that Down syndrome is one of the most common genetic disorders. And that's why research and funding needs to go into that research to help support families having loved ones with Down syndrome.
Really enjoying my conversation with Kendra Vanderwall of Designer Jeans of North Dakota. They work statewide to strengthen opportunities for people with Down syndrome and those who support them. Kendra, I think oftentimes people wonder who don't have a child in their family or in their friendship group who has Down syndrome of the challenges that parents like you face. But I want to know what people tell you is most rewarding about raising a child with Down syndrome.
There are so many things that are rewarding about having a loved one with Down syndrome. My son is a spunky, sassy, funny boy who is willing to start a dance party at any moment of the day, who is kind and passionate. He loves learning about the weather, and he loves playing with cars and his friends. He just also happens to have Down syndrome. And so it's kind of like you need to remember and forget the fact that he has Down syndrome, because he's a person like any other person. He has goals and dreams, and our family motto specifically is to have him shoot for Mars, because we really didn't want to set any limitations on him. And if he wants to figure out how he's going to go to Mars, I think it's our duty as parents to figure out how to get him there. It would terrify me if he did, but I want to make sure that he's getting there if that's his dream. And that's what I hope as an organization that we're doing for any family. If that is meaning that they want to work at a college or they want to start their own business, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that families are given the tools and the resources that they need to really help everybody reach their dreams.
I think of support oftentimes as going to parents, but Down syndrome also shapes relationships between in your family, brothers or sisters.
Yes.
What would you like people to understand about the experiences of siblings with one of their brothers or sisters who has Down syndrome?
Yes, siblings often become some of the most inclusive, kind advocates that you will ever meet. They grow up understanding empathy and different learning styles that might work for them, but doesn't work for their brother. And so they're so accommodating and accepting because they know what the true meaning of belonging is. And we hope that through our meetups and events and resources that siblings and parents both know that they're just not alone in this journey. And I know that there's a lot of organizations in our state right now. The DD Council and Little Lights Therapy are offering sibling support classes too, to just give them another outlet of sharing different stories and passions that they have too. So I think they're one of the most amazing advocates, and I think it's exciting to watch Ben's siblings grow up alongside so many in our community.
You get to visit with your sons or daughters all the time about your son who has Down syndrome. Then they go out into the world and have friends. What's your role in visiting with the parents of those friends in helping inclusion become reality and sincere?
Belonging to me means that you're valued and you're expected and your voice matters and people notice when you're not in the room. And so that is so important to me, building connections in the community to make sure that people feel supported. And you will be surprised, the power of community. There, if we do not receive a referral to our organization from a medical professional, how many parents or connections or coworkers, friends reach out and say, hey, I know of a new family in the area. Have they been connected? Or I know someone new with Down syndrome and I am so excited. And so the power of community is so exciting and so hopeful for me that we're really sharing a message that people know and feel like they belong in Designer Jeans and the community. And so we're hoping to continue to make those relationships and continue to advocate alongside so many organizations. We know that advocacy is always needed, and that is true in the community as well. So whether it is partnering with disability advocates or partnering with schools, partnering with businesses to run those mock interviews, it's continual. And we know that we need to continue to do it to make sure that everybody does feel like they belong. And then it just becomes natural.
Do families in rural North Dakota face different challenges than you do living in the Bismarck Mandan area in finding services, in finding specialists, in finding community for support?
Yes. So we are a statewide organization, but in taking this role, I have been with Designer Jeans for about 2 years. One of the first things I said or heard from families was that we love support and we want it to continue to grow. And so we did some surveys with families and found out that meeting up together in one's community is really important. And so we started our initiative of statewide meetups that meet throughout the year in Minot, Jamestown, and Dickinson. And we've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And it is so exciting to see the families in the communities coming together. We look forward to meeting with each other every couple of months and brainstorming different ideas. And that is a lot of our conversations. What medical professionals are in your area? How can we continue to foster those relationships? How are you needing to grow as a family? What information do you might need? And so it's a lot of collaboration with those families. We do have families in Williston and Tioga, and so I'm sending or mailing resources to them or emailing, whichever they prefer. And throughout the year, that might mean different. I know a lot of families look for information around World Down Syndrome Day on March 21st or October, which is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And families are looking for resources to share with their schools or their classrooms. And so we mail them different books and talking points for classrooms to collaborate. But another thing that we do help families navigate is if they do have to go out of state for some medical appointments, that we help guide them to resources that is going to really help that. So connecting with the social worker at the hospital, connecting with another organization that can help provide travel funds, or applying for our HOPE grant, which also does that. We provide travel expenses for families going out of state for those medical appointments should they need it.
Kendra Vanderwall is my guest. She's the executive director of Designer Jeans. They help folks with Down syndrome here in North Dakota. Kendra, what assumptions about Down syndrome still today continue to limit opportunities for folks who have Down syndrome?
I think the greatest challenges are not Down syndrome itself, but the barriers that we kind of create in our own community. And those barriers might mean limited access to services, as you kind of mentioned, misconceptions about what people with Down syndrome can accomplish, maybe employment opportunities, housing and transportation options, assumptions that have been made before someone has the chance to truly demonstrate ability. And that's needs to be changed through listening to perspectives and helping people give the opportunity to show abilities, independence. And that is when people thrive. So that truly is done through advocacy and talking with people in our community and listening to know where the gaps are. And so, for example, a lot of families are in that aging population in our community. And so we wanted to provide an opportunity to share on Alzheimer's disease and what that might look like. And we also know that when you transition from 17 to 18, you are an adult. And so families were looking for information about what that supportive decision making looks like, or what does it mean to be a guardian? And so the beauty of our program is that we can really listen to what the families need and help break down those barriers that might be in place. And so that led us to offering a guardianship opportunity next month as well. So it really, I think the barriers are just really not listening or being open to hear another perspective. And through doing that and listening and offering abilities and encouraging independence, people will thrive. And that's what we hope.
We visited a little bit about employment. I said I would get back to this to talk about aging relative to folks with Down syndrome. Employment is part of your mission. People, I think, enjoy and get joy from working. So what can people with Down syndrome contribute in the workplace, and what helps make those employment relationships successful? What should I know as an employer? What should I know as someone who visits a place with folks who might have Down syndrome who are employees? Should it make a difference?
Absolutely. It's so important to remember that employment is so much more than receiving a paycheck. Work provides purpose for people. It builds relationships. It builds confidence. It sets in place routines that are familiar and comfortable. We all love routines. It builds independence. So many skills, communication, depending on what type of employment an individual seeks, the skills and the rewards are truly, the list goes on and on. And so I think it's important to note too that research has shown that employees with disabilities are dependable, they're loyal, they contribute in so many different ways in the workplace and the culture around it. As you mentioned, earn, learn, and belong is in our mission, and earning is a core pillar of that. It's because we strive to find earning opportunities for our members through education and making sure that they're set up with the tools that they need to go into employment, to build that independence, and to build that support. And so back to that research component, there's so much evidence that shows that the morale and the culture, the customer appreciation, the commitment, all because individuals with Down syndrome or individuals with disabilities are there. It opens our eyes to viewing in different ways. We all have different learning styles. You might want a checklist. I might want to hear it verbally. And so it really allows the community and culture within in a business to adapt and look at a perspective or a way of offering the community a new service in a different lens. And so it's really important to strive to to create opportunities because you really might not know where it leads to. There are so many wonderful individuals and self-advocates in our community that I just love hearing where they're at and what they are doing in our community. I know so many different businesses. Right now, we have a self-advocate working for a college because she found it so important to give back to that education piece and make sure that other self-advocates and other people with disabilities are given the same opportunity. I know businesses here in Bismarck, the Gifted Bean or Cold Country Coffee are based and have CEOs of individuals with Down syndrome. Sydney's Bronco Tamer, she just started a business that provides horse treats for people. And now she's in multiple states across the country. So there's so many different opportunities and businesses that are being more inclusive. And I think we all need to start having conversations about what that looks like and how we can continue to support people of all abilities in our workplace.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kendra Vanderwall, but we're going to take a break for this news.
Sleepy Hollow Theater and Arts Park in Bismarck presents A Night of Great Jazz featuring Scott Prebis and friends, August 13th at 7 p.m. outdoors at Bud's Corner Gazebo in the park. Ticket information is available at shtap.org.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein, pleased to be continuing our conversation with Kendra Vanderwall. She's the Executive Director of Designer Jeans of North Dakota, and they provide support for people with Down syndrome. Kendra, as we continue on, I want to understand what progress you've seen here in North Dakota and where there is more work that's still needed.
The future is exciting. People with Down syndrome have opportunities that they might not have or might not existed a few generations ago. And so there are so many people in the community that are working alongside us with the same mission for that inclusion, having higher expectation, strong advocates in our communities that are really advocating for people with disabilities. Improved medical research and resources on that. So I think the road ahead is really exciting. But at the same time, there's still a lot of work that we need to do with proposed cuts to Health and Human Services and different changes within the Department of Education. Those are two areas that we in North Dakota are really going to keep an eye out for, not only us at Designer Jeans, but many disability advocates and organizations across our state about how we can continue to advocate for education and healthcare and housing, different resources that individuals with disabilities access, you know, that includes housing, providers that work with our loved ones, community involvement. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but gosh, it is so exciting to really look at that landscape and see, okay, where can we go from here? And I'm just willing to have the conversation with people to know where they can get involved. Is it a mom or a dad or a sibling wanting to talk about education? Well, here I'm going to give you the resources and the people to connect with to share your story or to provide testimony then. Or if a business wants to learn about how they can continue to connect or, you know, provider organizations, how can we partner and really advocate for what that could look like or what the benefits are? We are only going to grow if we continue to work together. And so that is my hope, is that we just lead with excitement and hope and encouragement and lots of conversations and maybe coffee meetups, you know, let's meet up for coffee and see how we can continue to build our communities here in North Dakota.
So if I'm not an employer, but I'm a listener without a direct connection to Down syndrome, but I want to make a meaningful difference, what's something meaningful that someone can do who's listening to build a more welcoming community?
First and foremost is observe in your community and listen. Take the time to listen to the people in our community. I am surprised how many times my paths cross with another family in the store or while I'm having coffee. Or this happened to one of our board members recently, is that she went to get something off of Facebook Marketplace, and lo and behold, when she picked it up, that family had a loved one with a disability. And so there are people all around us with varying abilities, and it's important to spot those people and have a conversation with them. Meet them for coffee, sit with them at the table, learn the businesses in your community that are supporting individuals with disabilities, and support them locally. It's reaching out to other disability organizations. So, as I mentioned, I'm always willing to have a cup of coffee with you and chat about how you can get involved through volunteering or making a donation to an organization that is supporting people with disabilities, or just sharing books that you could read that have people that are sharing their different perspectives. So, there are so many different ways that might not seem like you're moving the needle by having a cup of coffee with somebody new, but you are taking the time to learn about a different perspective, and that's the very first step that you can take, and that truly is important.
Kendra, if there's a family that's received a diagnosis or maybe has just moved to North Dakota and is looking for support at any stage of life, how can it connect with Designer Jeans?
Yes, you can head to our website, designerjeansnd.com, and that will have all of our kind of information about what we offer, the different supports that we can provide, our phone number, email. We're on social media, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well as LinkedIn. And it shares about our upcoming events, trainings, different happenings that we're having. But you can pick up the phone and call us anytime. You can talk to your pediatrician or your medical provider about different resources that might be available in the area, and they can hopefully share different organizations that will support you. But our being a part of Designer Jeans does not cost any money, and there really is no sign up. And so if you're giving me a call wanting resources, I'm going to take the time to make sure you have those resources. And hopefully we can meet in person. I really love to meet with our community, but if it's a phone call or email, I want to make sure you have the resources. So there's no obligation, but gosh dang, we hope that you come to one of our events and meet with the community and be a part of what we have going on.
I should point out jeans and designer jeans is spelled GENES, designerjeansnd.com.
Yep.
Kendra, it's been a pleasure. How are you funded? How do you get money?
We are not federally funded, which is a blessing and a curse, right? We are grassroots. We are funded by community partners and sponsors who really want to promote acceptance. And so our largest fundraiser is our walk for Down syndrome. And so we get sponsors for that. But that's not the purpose of our walk. It really is to raise awareness and celebrate inclusion in our community. So our donations are really just grassroots efforts through wonderful community partners and donations that have come. We have tapped into a few grants specific to programming. And so we've worked with different grants to support our new baby hospital boxes and our GROW program that we offer for adults with disabilities 18 and up through the summer to get out in the garden, get their hands dirty, and grow some fruits and vegetables, and they get to take the produce home. So, really, it's grassroots effort and a whole lot of heart and passion.
Kendra, so much about what you do, you need policy changes for, or policy updates, or more communication. Are there policy issues that you're working on, even with the folks in North Dakota's legislature?
Yes, that is one of my becoming most excited topics to really dive into at Designer Jeans. We are really proud to help advocate at the local, state, and federal level. So, starting at the federal level, we have a lot of national partners. So, think of Global Medical Foundation or National Down Syndrome Congress. National Down Syndrome Society. Those are our national partners that are really advocating at that federal level about really relevant topics to our community. And so that might mean health and community-based services. That might mean looking at Medicaid. That might mean looking at the Department of Education and the changes that are being proposed. And so there's lots of opportunities that we try to share with our families if they're wanting to reach out to their state senators. We are very passionate about making sure that they're connected to the people that are meeting and making those decisions, should families want. If that is too much for families and they're really wanting to more so look at the state level, we are really passionate about being at the Capitol in North Dakota during our legislative session, making sure that we're monitoring different bills that are in place or impacting people with disabilities in our state. But we also know that we can't do this alone. And so there are lots of partners that we try to work with in monitoring different bills that are in place. So there are so many advocates like Family Voices and Protection and Advocacy and the North Dakota Developmental Council for Developmental Disabilities, the ARC. A lot of those people are really advocating and looking out for the different bills. Some that we're watching right now is, so North Dakota runs on a two-year legislative session. And so this year, we were monitoring the Special Education Committee as they were looking at special education funding and math and reading skills for our individuals with Down syndrome. So that's important. We're wanting to advocate and make sure that individuals with disabilities and dental supports are in place. We're going to need to really advocate for the health and community-based services here in North Dakota. We're going to have to advocate for providers and making sure that we're continuing to talk about potential shortages that might result or how we can continue to partner with providers and making sure that supports like in-home and respite care are accessible for our families. Education, I keep bringing it up, but we're going to definitely need to look at education in our state and how we can continue to advocate for inclusive practices while still building up those math and reading. So it's an exciting time. There's lots of areas that we're going to need to cover. And it's just important to know that you're not alone, but your voice matters. And please don't hesitate to share your voice. And if you are wondering how to do that, give me a call and I'll make sure that you can get connected with the right people to either share your story, write a testimony, or learn more about the process to get involved.
Kendra Vanderwall is the Executive Director of Designer Jeans of North Dakota, a statewide nonprofit supporting people with Down syndrome and the families, professionals, and communities around them. Learn more, find resources, or connect with the organization at designerjeansnd.com. Kendra, thank you so much for joining us on Main Street.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Support for Prairie Public is provided by Health Partners, serving North Dakota through a simplified approach to health plans, customer service, and dedicated community partnerships. More information is available at healthpartners.com/Dakota Plans.
If you're listening to the 3 p.m. broadcast of Main Street, catch up on the news and stories from around the world, the nation, and here at home on All Things Considered. That's up next on Prairie Public. And if you're listening to us during the evening broadcast, keep it here for Hidden Brain. That follows Main Street on Prairie Public. This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. What do you remember about your grandparents? Maybe it's the sound of a song they liked or the smell of eating at their house when you were a kid. Many of us keep those kinds of things locked in our hearts. At the Tell, Fargo's live monthly storytelling event back in June, Denise Johnson shared memories of a warning her grandparents gave to her that still echoes every time she drives.
So, thinking about a story with no theme was kind of a challenge. And so this last week on Sunday was also my wedding anniversary, which got me thinking about why we picked May 10th as the day we got married, because the year we got married, it was a Thursday, which is kind of an odd day to have a wedding. And so the reason I picked May 10th is May 10th was my grandparents' anniversary. My grandparents were very special to me. I was very close with them. They were these teeny tiny little people. I mean, I'm not like a huge, giant, tall person, and I towered over them. So they didn't have a lot of money. They were in northern Minnesota. My grandpa worked for the road department, and my grandma was a stay-at-home mom, and she had pet cows and a big garden and raspberries that she would sell during the summer. And they were so tiny that over the years, one of the ways they showed us how much they loved each other was that they would sit every day on the couch, and their two little butts would share one couch cushion, and they would hold hands and watch TV. So that's what we saw every time we were at Grandma and Grandpa's house. You know, we saw these two little teeny tiny lovely people sharing a couch cushion, holding hands, and smiling. So that got me thinking about, you know, how grandparents show love. My grandma showed love with food, and she fed us. She baked cookies, she made radish sandwiches, which we all loved. And my grandpa showed us love by, when we were little kids, when he'd get home from work, he'd stop at the end of the driveway, we'd hear his big old pickup, and we'd go running out to the end of the driveway as fast as our little barefoot legs could carry us on the gravel, and we'd climb in the pickup, and he would give us his leftover ice water, and he'd save us each a cookie out of his lunch. And that's what we did when we were little. And as we got older, he would show us love by cleaning the headlights of our car and changing the oil. And the one thing that has stuck with me for years and years was every time we left, I'd hear, "Watch for deer, watch for deer. Don't forget to watch for deer." And so that kind of always stuck with me. And as we grew and got older and my grandparents started having lots and lots of health problems. My grandma had macular degeneration and osteoporosis, and so she lost her ability to do a lot of physical things. And my grandpa developed Alzheimer's, and so he lost his ability to do cognitive things. So our families kind of always said, grandma was the brains and grandpa was the brawn. And, you know, remember, they sat on this little couch cushion all the time. And as things progressed and grandpa got worse and worse, grandma was his caregiver and, you know, she took great care of him. But she couldn't do a lot of things physically. And eventually she started wearing pain patches, so narcotic pain patches that would stick on her back or whatever. But she got sick and she got a really bad fever. So what happens when you get a fever and you're wearing a pain patch is suddenly all these narcotics are released very quickly into your body. And so grandma got a little loopy. Now, so grandma is the caregiver, right? And grandma's loopy as all can be, and grandpa doesn't know what to do. At this point in his life, he's forgotten how to use the telephone, so he doesn't know how to call for help. He doesn't know what to do, but he's worried about grandma getting out. No matter what, he does not want her to escape. So when they go to bed that night, he doesn't know what to do, but he gets her into bed, and he comes up with the only plan he can think of, is he gets his suspenders, and he hooks one suspender to her and one suspender to him. Now, Grandma's fever broke in the middle of the night, and she was a little concerned why she was, you know, 80 years old and in bondage. But then she figured out that it was Grandpa doing what he could to keep her safe. Grandma's illness progressed and she passed away, and Grandpa had to go into a memory care unit. And as things progressed, you know, he eventually forgot all of us and didn't remember anything. But he always knew we were family. And one of us was there just about every day, and we kind of took Grandma's place. Now, none of us had the same size butt as Grandma, so we couldn't sit on the couch cushion with him, but we could sit next to him and hold his hand. And as things were getting to the end, and we're all sitting there holding his hand, he had these sparkling blue eyes and this great big smile, and you could always tell when he was up to mischief because there was a twinkle. And just as it's getting to the end and we know it's coming, there's a moment of clarity that Grandpa had. And his eyes opened and you could see a little twinkle and there was a great big smile on his face. And you knew that he was seeing Grandma and her patting that couch cushion, waiting to take over holding his hand. And so my thought behind this is, until the next time I see you, Grandpa and Gram, watch for deer.
This is us, down at the Mardi Gras. That was Denise Johnson from The Tell back in June. A new season of The Tell at the 4 and 4 upstairs of Side Street Grill and Pub kicks off on Thursday, September 10th. The theme is road trips. More information at The Tell's Facebook page and on Instagram.
This is Bird Note. It's morning in southern Arizona, and a white-winged dove coos from atop a saguaro cactus. He looks a lot like a mourning dove, a close relative. But this bird's voice and signature white wing patch set him apart. White-winged doves primarily eat seeds and grains. But in the Sonoran Desert, a large part of their diet depends on saguaro cactuses. These massive plants grow in columns more than 40 feet tall. In late spring, they bloom a crown of large white flowers packed with sweet nectar. The blossoms attract bees, bats, and doves that transfer pollen between plants as they forage. The saguaros then bear fruit that bursts open to reveal a dark red pulp and thousands of delicious seeds. In the desert southwest, white-winged doves time their migration to sync up with the saguaro's reproductive cycle, to the benefit of both species. The cacti provide doves with a crucial source of water in the driest part of the Sonoran summer. The doves sustain the saguaros as pollinators and seed dispersers. It's a classic case of mutualistic symbiosis. Learn more about the relationships between plants and birds on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
Democrats see holding an open seat in Michigan as essential to reclaiming the Senate. But first, Michigan voters must choose between two millennial Democrats vying to take on Republican former Congressman Mike Rogers this fall.
Who has the best chance of beating the Republican? That's going to be my biggest priority.
That story from Primary Day in Michigan on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Starting at 4 a.m. Central, right here on Prairie Public.
Theater Without Walls presents The Cream of Wheat Caper, a melodrama on the Red River, August 15th and 22nd at 7 p.m. and August 16th and 23rd at 2 p.m. at the Myra Museum in Grand Forks. The production is supported by an arts re-grant from the City of Grand Forks with additional support from the Community Foundation of Grand Forks, East Grand Forks, and Region.
And that's a wrap for this Monday's Main Street. We are deeply grateful that you've spent time with us. Tomorrow on the show, we're celebrating a major Prairie Public milestone. Dr. Jack Russell Weinstein is marking the 200th episode of Why, philosophical discussions about everyday life. For nearly two decades, the University of North Dakota professor has made big ideas accessible, engaging, and relevant. We'll visit with Jack and hear from his family, colleagues, and those who helped bring him to Prairie Public. That's ahead tomorrow on Main Street, and we look forward to your joining us again.